Good morning, everyone. It's Pastor Jeremiah, and I just want to welcome you to our online service this morning. Thanks for taking the time to tune in and join with us. It's so good to have you. I do want to encourage you, if you are local to the Seattle area, to check out our website and also the church app, where you can find information about upcoming events, different things to get involved with. I know that we have a marriage course coming up that we're going to be doing as a community, and then as well, we have a Living Word Challenge that's going on right now that you could jump in with us and join us for that. We're on the last few weeks of that, but it's not too late to get started in joining us for the Living Word. We're going to be releasing some more Living Word scriptures during the Lent season that's upcoming as well, so stay tuned for that. And there's another number of other activities as well. I know we have a ladies' night coming up, a guys' night's planned soon, so different events, things going on for the whole family. Definitely want to stay in touch with what's happening around Westside. And for those of you who are joining us online, maybe you're from another part of the country, you moved, or watching from even a different country than the U.S., welcome. We love having you, and it's really great to be able to connect through this kind of technology. Well, we are in a sermon series that we are calling Jesus, the King of Truth. And I'll briefly explain why I wanted to jump into this sermon series. I've been thinking a great deal about our culture's relationship with the truth, because in a lot of ways, truth is being redefined or maybe even kind of being eliminated. We live in what is, I would describe as an increasingly relativistic society, where I think there's, to some extent, we question whether or not ultimate truth even exists. But really, in regards to that, in relationship with that, the only reason why we are questioning ultimate truth, in my opinion, is because we are incapable of actually knowing ultimate truth. And we have to be humble in regards to that. And so we'll get into that in this message this morning. You know, one of the things that I've recognized, I've lived long enough in life to know, is that I cannot be trusted when it comes to ascertaining what the truth is. My relationship with what I perceive to be true is an uncomfortable one. And again, the more the time goes by, the more examples I have for this. I'm constantly getting things wrong. And I'm getting things wrong for a number of different reasons. First of all, because my emotions get in the way. My emotions skew my vision of what is true. It may be love, it may be anger, it may be overenthusiasm, whatever takes over me in an emotional moment. But I will often be led astray in life by my emotions. You may be able to relate with that. Another reason is my preconceived ideas are often wrong. And so there's things that I've come to believe along the path of life, and I've been corrected by those things. And that happens over and over and over again. My interpretation of things, my understanding of things is often adjusted and changed and has to be updated through the course of time. I'm operating in life with false information. A third thing is my skills of perception are not 100%. I don't know if you've ever done one of those games where you look at a picture and try to solve a murder mystery, and you only get to look at the picture for a certain amount of time, and you have to answer these questions. And man, anytime I do one of those tests, I'm constantly missing things. I'm not perceiving all the facts that are available. And so I'm limited in my ability to understand things fully. I don't always see everything. I don't understand things perfectly in any given situation. So there's a lot of reasons why I cannot be trusted when it comes to understanding exactly what the truth is, which is why humility is called for in life. It's one of the many reasons why humility is called for in life. None of us sees it all. None of us knows it all or can figure it all out. What we need is outside help. Which brings us back to the subject of last week's message, if you tuned in for last week's message. In order for us to have a healthy relationship with the truth, which I think is probably the best thing that we can hope for in life, to have a healthy relationship with the truth, we have to be able to trust in someone higher than ourselves, someone with greater knowledge and capacity for knowledge than ourselves. And this is where Jesus comes in. And as we talked about in last week's message, our ability to know the truth is directly linked to having a trusting relationship with Jesus Christ. In the text that we looked at last week from John chapter 18, Jesus tells Pilate that everyone on the side of truth listens to him. Now, if you think about that, that is a very bold statement for a person to make. And today we're actually going to look at an even more bold statement that Jesus makes. And the context for the passage we're going to take a look at this morning, which is in John 14, if you want to get your Bible turned into that passage. Jesus is speaking to his disciples shortly before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. He's explaining to them that he's no longer going to be with them in cloaked language, and they're trying to discern or understand exactly what it is that he's talking about, because, I mean, who, after all, can predict their death? But that's what Jesus is doing, and he's explaining to them he's going to the Father. He's going to prepare a place for them in eternity. And the disciples are confused, as you and I would most likely be if we were in that conversation as well. And that's where we pick up this conversation. It's in John 14, verse 1. And Jesus says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled," because he's saying some very troubling things. "You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." This is the cloaked language. And Thomas said to him in verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" In other words, Thomas is saying, we're so many steps behind, we have no idea what you're talking about. And Jesus answered in verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." There's a lot of religious teachers over the course of human history who have pointed to the way or have guided their followers in the way or along the way. But none of them has ever said anything close to what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says, "I am the way." Those same teachers have convinced others to believe that what they say is true. They've convinced many, many people. But it's a whole other level to say, "I am the truth. I am the truth." For Jesus to say, "I am the truth," means that nothing he could ever say or do could be contrary to a perfect representation of God. That's why it's such a bold statement for him to make. Every word that he has spoken, every action that he has taken, has been in perfect alignment with God because he spoke it, because he did it. He is truth, period. When God first reveals himself to Moses at the burning bush in the Sinai desert, Moses asks him, "What name should I call you? How should I introduce you to the Egyptians or to the people of Israel when I go to them and say that you've called me to deliver them? What name should I call you?" And God responds with a subject, "I," and with a verb, "am." So he says, "I am." And it's a fascinating response, right? Those two words have conjured up all sorts of explanations for what exactly this could mean. And it's as if God is revealing to Moses through these two very simple words, this small little phrase, two-word phrase, "I am," he's saying, "I am the self-existent one. I exist in and of myself. I am the one who is. And here's some interesting thoughts along those lines. If God said, I was who I was, that would suggest that in some way he was incomplete at the time, or that he had changed in some way. If he said, I will be what I will be, that means that God felt incomplete in the moment or imperfect at the time, and that he's capable of progress. But the fact that God declared, I am that I am, means that he is perfect and complete at this present moment and for all of eternity. And isn't it fascinating that Jesus seems to be filling in the blank? He seems to be adding to information that was revealed when God revealed himself to Moses. And what he's doing is, there's a subject, I, there's a verb, am, but he's adding the predicate, if you remember your English class in high school, right? He's adding the predicate to the sentence. Jesus was born, and he says, I am the way, predicate number one, the truth, predicate number two, and the life, predicate number three. Now, we are focusing on the truth this week because that's the scope of this particular sermon series, Jesus, the King of Truth. So in this sermon series, the implications of Jesus declaring himself to be the truth are these. What is true is measured by the standard of Jesus. When he says, I am the truth, what he's saying is everything that you know and believe to be true is measured by the standard that I set with my life. Here's the implications of this. Your theology should be filtered through the lens of Jesus, and that's a constant process. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees all believed that they had a correct interpretation of the scriptures up to the point at which Jesus Christ was born into the world. And Jesus, when he showed up on the scene, absolutely obliterated everything that they had come to believe. And they were serious scholars. This should be a warning sign to you and I that not everything that we've come to believe is correct and constantly needs to be filtered through the lens of Jesus. If we don't pay careful attention to the truth of Jesus, we will often lead ourselves off course. One great example of this was Peter's revelation that the Gentile people, in other words, the non-Jewish people in the world, were included in God's plan for salvation. It was hinted at throughout the scriptures, but it was not something that anybody saw because it required some real discernment, some leadership of the Holy Spirit to really understand what was being implied. So everyone missed it. But Jesus reveals to Peter in a vision that this is God's plan about, you know, who can be included in this whole process of salvation, and everything had to change. So one thing that Jesus revealed to Peter was just how big God's grace is, how inclusive God's plan for salvation really is. And the lesson seems to be, don't be surprised at who is included, at who is loved by God, and who is cared for by God, and who God showers his grace and his mercy upon. We should find that our beliefs are challenged by Jesus on a regular basis. What you and I believe to be true, or the limits we may place on God, will constantly be challenged as we encounter Jesus. And that can happen through reading scriptures, that can happen through prayer, meditation, that can happen through revelation that God brings into our lives, or an instance that God speaks to us about. We should constantly be challenged in our beliefs as we engage in relationship with Jesus, because truth is measured by the standard of Jesus. Secondly, your behaviors should be measured through the lens of Jesus. And I'll be honest, as a pastor, this one is my least favorite. There's a teaching from the scriptures that says that one should be weary of teaching others because teachers are held to a higher standard. And if I'm being honest with you, that's true. And this is, you know, kind of a poor me moment. But if I'm teaching on a Sunday morning about what it means to live like Jesus, and that teaching happens on Sunday, on Monday, you know, from time to time, I do lose my temper. All right? From time to time at home, I'm not living my life in a way that reflects Jesus perfectly. So if I lose my temper, if I raise my voice, my kids pounce on me like a pack of hyenas, right? And they'll say things like, oh, well, I heard in the sermon that Pastor Jeremiah gave that we're supposed to live our lives like Jesus. You know, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus lose his temper? Would Jesus raise his voice, Dad? Right? I'm just like cut to the core because I'm living in hypocrisy, right? We get just called to account right then and there, constantly. And that's just reality, right? Our behavior should constantly produce conviction if we are measuring our behavior through the lens of Jesus Christ. If we're asking that question, what would Jesus do? And then saying, well, am I doing likewise? Right? The chances are that we will fall under constant conviction. And that's the weary side of being a disciple, is that refinement, that growth, it never ends. It never completes itself. We are constantly called to a higher standard because our standard is perfection, Jesus Christ. So your behaviors should measure up to the lens of Jesus when it comes to how we should live our lives, what true living really looks like. We measure that by the standard of Jesus. Lastly, your personal beliefs and convictions should be measured through the lens of Jesus. There's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot these days, and it's a phrase that really bothers me. In fact, it's a phrase that I was thinking about when I first decided to do this sermon series. And I think it's thrown out by Oprah and people like that a lot. And they say things like, speak your truth. Speak your truth. And I'll give Oprah some credit. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. I think there is a wonderful thing about being willing to speak up, having the courage to speak up about things or to let people know your opinion, even if it's an unpopular opinion, let's say. And so in that regard, I agree with this sentiment, speak your truth. But really, when I think about it, when I really analyze that particular statement, right, your truth is not really worth a hill of beans unless it's measured up against the truth of Jesus. In fact, I think there's a lot of people who are in bondage to what they would call their truth, when in fact all that it is self-deception. And this, again, is where the humility comes into play. As I mentioned earlier, your truth is based off of your experience, your perspective, limited as it is. Your truth is incomplete because you are a finite and you are a limited human being. Your truth is often off base because of your emotions that filter the things that you believe. What's the lesson? You can speak your truth, but you better not trust it until you measure it up against the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. Our truth is oftentimes influenced by what is expedient, which is another reason why we shouldn't trust it fully. God's truth is eternal. When Jesus said things like, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, he's making the point that much of what you and I invest in, much of what you and I interpret as, well, this is the truth, this is the way to go, this is what I need to do, or this is what I need to believe, as human beings, it's not a good investment of our time or our energy or our effort or anything. It only rots and is destroyed. In light of this, think of the contrast between what is often my truth, or kind of a fleshly, carnal way of thinking, and God's truth, that eternal perspective. I wrote a few things down here to have that compare and contrast between what my truth often consists of and what God's truth consists of. Think of this. I want to impress others with my appearance. Those are my natural instincts. I fight that all the time. I want to impress people with my appearance, my success, my accomplishments, in order to ascend the pecking order of social status in life. And we make a lot of decisions in life just to impress other people or to make ourselves look good. And that's my truth. That's how my thinking often operates. God's truth is this: you are loved and created by God. You can't do anything to make him love you less. You can't do anything to make him love you more. You are God's child. You are secure. You are enough. That's an eternal truth. My truth says this: I want to live a pleasurable life and enjoy what I want to enjoy when I want to enjoy it on my terms, because I deserve it. That's classic hedonism, by the way. God's truth is this: fulfilling your impulse for pleasure will only leave you more empty on the inside. Find fulfillment in cultivating a life of gratitude and thanksgiving, knowing that every need that you have will be fulfilled in relationship with your benevolent Heavenly Father. That is a recipe for fulfillment in life. It's God's truth. My truth says this: the only one I can rely on is me. I can't entrust myself to anyone else because no one else has my best interests at heart. So I'm not going to entrust myself to anyone. Leads itself to isolation, lends itself to loneliness. God's truth says this: trust is the currency of intimacy. You can trust others and find meaningful relationships, because even when they fail you, which they will do, you can rest in my arms. I am the launching pad from which you can take leap after leap of faith, because we find courage and we find boldness in God's truth, and we find only fear in ours. That's God's truth versus our truth, which often has nothing to do with the truth and is only a myth and lies and deception that we have come to believe. And there is a vast difference. So what's the goal? How should we respond to this reality? If we get into the habit of presenting our thoughts and our beliefs before our Heavenly Father on a regular basis, and we say, filter this for me. Where am I going wrong here? Correct my wrong thinking. Correct my truth with your truth. We are engaging in the time-honoring principle of renewing our minds in Christ Jesus, which the writer of Hebrews instructs us to do, to renew our minds in the truth of Jesus Christ. A renewed mind filters out the lies and lives according to the ultimate truth, which is God's truth. And that's where we want to live. And that's what we want to live out of. God's truth. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Let's measure everything through the filter of who Jesus is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it instructs us, it inspires us, it corrects and rebukes us, it reminds us of what is most important, where our priorities should be, and how we should live our lives. We thank you that it shines its light on the darkness of our minds that become depraved, because because we are exposed to so much wrong thinking. And God, we are constantly being deceived and led astray. We don't have to fear. We don't have to live in anxiety because we have a source of light that lives within us, your Spirit guiding us and leading us. And I just pray that we would entrust ourselves to that process of saying, God, filter my mind. Teach me, instruct me along the path of life. I want to follow you. I want to live out of your truth, not just mine. Not just my limited understanding. I want to know eternal truth and a relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you are constantly at work within us, just leading us along the path of life, leading us in your truth. We thank you for the power of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us this morning for this message and spending some time in God's Word. I do want to ask that you would continue to be faithful in your giving to the work that God is doing through Westside Church. You can give at westsidechurch.com/give. Also, if you have the church app, you can download that and set up an account, give through the church app as well. Well, God bless everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I hope that you'll continue with us as we continue in this sermon series, Jesus, the King of Truth, over the next 2 weeks. And have a great week. God bless you.